All right. So we're gonna get into our teaching for today. Definitely appreciate everyone who's on here. You're in for a treat. We're going to start a new series, and the name of the series is Tongues. Let me get my slide. It's Tongues, the Lost Language. So that's going to be the name of this series. It's Tongues, the Lost Language. And the title of the teaching on today is going to be The Restored Language. The Restored Language. And so we're going to talk about speaking in tongues, which is the same thing as praying in tongues. And it is the Greek word glossolalia, which we get the word glossary from. In using dictionaries. So we're going to talk about the restored language on today. And there's four types of people when it comes to talking about praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, and whichever one makes you comfortable, they're pretty much interchangeable. You can say speaking in tongues, you can say praying in tongues. And so there's four types of people that you deal with when we talk about praying in tongues. And you have people who have never heard of tongues. Okay, you have people who have never heard about this thing about praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. Then you have people who have heard of tongues, but they have heard of it in the wrong light. So they might have heard of it, but then they heard that it was pretty much demonic. Okay, or they heard that that it was just not of God. Then you have people who have heard of tongues and have experienced tongues, but they have done it in a religious manner. And I kind of fall in one of those in that category there. About 10 years ago, I pretty much fell into that category of those who had heard and experienced tongues in a religious manner. And because I came up in apostolic, I came up in the Pentecostal background. And on October the 29th or the 27th, one of 1995 was when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I came from, like I told you, it was very occultic, but it was an apostolic ministry. And I spoke in tongues the first time, October the 29th, I think it was 1995. And I spoke in tongues so hard that I could not stop. I could not stop. But at the time, they were teaching us that when you spoke in tongues, you had to speak in tongues in order to be saved. So we were learning how to speak in tongues, but we were learning it under persecution or condemnation. And so people had a very difficult time of grasping the whole thing of praying in tongues. And that's what I mean by having experienced tongues in a religious manner, because we didn't experience it in a way in which we were taught how fruitful it was, how it was a blessing to do this. And we definitely weren't taught that it was a language. And so you have four types of people. You have people who have never heard of tongues. Then you have people who have heard of tongues in a wrong light. Then you have those who have heard and experienced tongues, but in a religious manner. And then you have people who embrace it, practice it, and have seen the empirical evidence of it. Now, what I mean by that is you have people who pray in tongues, have seen the results. That's what I mean by empirical evidence. They've practiced it. They've done it over and over again, and they have seen the empirical evidence. Okay, they have proof that praying in tongues, it actually manifests things in your life. And so the whole thing about language is essential, and it's essential in shaping culture. All right, if we can't communicate, then we can't build culture. If we can't communicate, then we can't build culture. And the kingdom of God has a culture, and tongues is the language of the kingdom. Now, the definition of tongues is a language or a dialect used by a particular people distinct from that of other nations. So Africans have a different tongue. Haitians have a different tongue. Asians have a different tongue. Spanish people have a different, Spanish culture has a different tongue. English culture has a different tongue. But all of those cultures are upheld by language. If we don't have language, we can't communicate. So then what happens is we don't have an economy that's productive. We can't have entertainment. I don't know about y'all, but I hate watching movies with subtitles. If I don't know the language, I'd rather just not watch the movie. Some people like it. I don't like it. Okay, I can do the movies with kind of partial, in which, you know, it's primarily in English, but then sometimes they go off into another language, and then, yeah, I'll read those subtitles, but to sit down and watch a two-hour movie just reading subtitles, I'm not interested in that. All right? And so if you don't have language, you can't have fellowship. We can't do business. And so forth. So language is very important. And so our main point on in today's teaching is to pretty much teach that we lost this language. And the Father wants to restore this language to us. And our first scripture is going to come from Zephaniah. I wonder how many people read that Bible, that book before. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. And it reads, "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." So Zephaniah is prophesying that one day that the Father is going to restore to the people a pure language. All right. Now, the purpose of restoring this pure language is right here in this scripture. It says that they may all call on the name of the Lord. So part of the restoration is communication. So he wants to restore this pure language so that we can call on him. And the other part is he wants to restore this language so we can be unified, because we can only accomplish things when we're unified. All right. If everyone just does their own thing, we can't get anything accomplished. So he gave us this pure language, or is restoring this pure language to his people for communication and for unity. Now, he said this is a pure language, meaning that there is no additives, there is no foreign substances to this language. Matter of fact, this is a pure language, so it is the only language that cannot be perverted. You cannot pervert tongues. People can try to, but you cannot pervert. Why? Because this language is from us to the Father. We're speaking to heaven when we do that. We're not talking to man. This is the only language that you can't speak profanity in. That's why this language is holy. That's why it's considered holy. And so we lost a pure language. And our Father wants us to have this language back. Isaiah 28 and 11. And it reads, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people." So once again, with stammering lips and another tongue, he says he will speak to this people. So once again, the Father desires to communicate with his people. Can he hear us in English? Yes. But everybody can hear us in English. Can he hear our thoughts? Yes. But this is a mysterious language. This is a heavenly language. Like I said, this is the language of the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a language. Every country has a language. And ours is tongues. And so he's trying to restore this back to us. So I'm going to read that again. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue," he said, "he will speak to his people." So our Father desires communication with us. He wants to communicate with us. Verse 12 says, "To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." And so Jude, and we'll talk about this scripture later, but Jude 1 and 20 says that we should pray in the Spirit. And then praying in the Spirit, we build up our most holy faith. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4, and we'll talk about those next week. It says that when we pray in a tongue, we edify ourselves. And so he's letting us know that when he restores this language to us, this language in which we have stammering lips and another tongue, in which we are communicating with him, we should get rest and we will get refreshed by it. And a lot of people do not notice that when you pray in tongues, you recover your strength, rest. When you pray in tongues, you refresh your spirit. When you're praying in tongues, you are speaking to heaven. And so there's benefits to praying in tongues. If you're tired, you come home from a long day's work, and I hope y'all hear me on this, because sometimes we need this. You come home from work, or you had a day in which it was just heavy and life is just bogging you down. All you have to do is start praying in tongues. You start praying in tongues, and immediately, it won't take long, 20, 30 minutes maybe, all right? And you'll just feel a burst of energy. Now, if you are consistent in that, you always have energy. If you are depressed, all you have to do is pray in tongues until the depression breaks. Because all it is like I tell you all the time, is that the Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits, come to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And that can be found in Hebrews chapter 1. And so we know that the Satan was a fallen angel, and he took a third of the angels with him. So anytime you feel a demonic presence, it's from a demon. And so angels give off presence. And so the same way in which he can hover over us and bring a demonic presence, the same way we can start speaking in tongues, and we can invite presence into our life, in the sense where Jesus said that the angels came and ministered to him. We can invite the angels to minister to us while we're depressed. So you can beat depression, you can beat oppression just by simply praying in tongues. If you're angry, just pray in tongues. Start praying in tongues and it'll break. It's mystical, it's mysterious, it's unexplainable in this planet. We do the best we can. But if you're angry, pray in tongues and you'll see it break. If you're confused, if you don't know what to do about a situation, pray in tongues. This is why he gave this to us, this language to us. If you're emotional, if you're curious about things, all you have to do is pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. And this is why he restored this language, because he wants us to have rest and he wants us to recover or have a way of refreshing our spirit. And so our next set of scriptures is going to come from Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to read to verse 8. And this is the genesis of language. All right. And it reads, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. The whole earth had one language and one speech, meaning they had one way of communicating and they were all saying the same thing. It says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. That they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. They're getting ready to build something. Verse 4, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. I want to say about that. Lest we be scattered abroad. Because they're saying, look, if we don't build, we will be scattered. All right. And that works two different ways. If you have a relationship and y'all not building, that relationship will eventually scatter. If you have a family and you are not building, that relationship eventually scatters. Anytime the Father wants to call you away from something, he'll allow you guys not to build together, or whatever you're doing, to fall apart, so that what? He can scatter you. And so it's a divine principle that if we are not building, we are scattering. We were scattered. Verse 5, it says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Now, the first scripture we read in Genesis 11 and 1 said, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. So what was that one language? If the whole earth had one language and one speech, what would that language be? It wasn't English, we know that. And it definitely wasn't Hebrew, because it wasn't until chapter 12 that that God visited Abraham and started the Hebrew nation. So what was that language? Now, we do know this, that there was a language in the garden. We do know that Adam and the father had one language. The language of God and Adam were one language. We know that they walked and talked in the cool of the day. We know that the father sat there and asked him, Adam, where are you? And then he responds to him, I hid because I was naked. Who told you that? So there was a language. Now, is it possible that this original language is tongues? Now, I'm not going to say that in chapter 11, verse 1, that this language right here was speaking about tongues. Because I do think that the original language was tongues, but when Adam got disconnected, all right, when Adam got disconnected, he started to speak an earthly language. He started to have to be able to communicate with man more than he can communicate with God, because the fellowship was broken. So is it possible, though, that our original language is tongues? Yes. How do we know this? Because hence, restore, Zephaniah 3:9, where he says, I will restore to this people a pure language. So we know that this language is being restored, and this language is tongues. This is how heaven hears you. You want to speak in this language. Now, what was the one language that they were speaking? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us the one language they were speaking. But we do know this by way of scripture, that this language made them unify them. That this language caused them to build. That this language, that they had this language and this one language and this one speech, and they wanted to come together and build something that would touch heaven. And that's what it's all about when we're talking about praying in tongues. Is we're talking about erecting something or building something behind the scenes while we do it that will reach heaven. And so it's as if while we're praying in tongues, we're pulling the pieces out of heaven to build something. It's as if when we're praying in tongues, the Father is assembling stuff to us. Now, the way I imagine it in my head is if, you know, you have Christmas or something like that, and a bicycle was bought or a toy is bought, okay, in which the parent has to put it together. And while the child is sitting there eager, and they just want to play on the toy, the parent is putting the toy together so that the child can enjoy it. And so that's what happens when we pray in tongues. The Father, he begins to assemble our destiny. He begins to put it together. That's why the Bible says when we pray in tongues, we build up our most holy faith, that we edify ourselves. And like I said, this language was so wonderful that it made them, or put it like this, it got heaven's attention so much that heaven had to intervene. The Bible said that heaven came down and confused their language so that they may not understand speech. Now, why is that important? Because if it lets us know what heaven can do with language, because if they can confuse their language, they can confuse our language. And sometimes we don't even notice when the language has been confused, but we come up with it around certain groups, certain areas, around certain people. And there were certain conversations that we had no problem having these conversations. We had no problem at all having these conversations. Then all of a sudden, we don't want to be around these conversations. What happened? Our language has been confused. We no longer want to speak a language that is unholy. We no longer want to deal with speech that is unholy. And so it lets you know that heaven can manipulate. That's how Satan is confused, because Satan cannot hear when you pray in tongues. He hates it when you pray in tongues. Why? Because he can't understand it, for one, and for two, he knows what you're doing in the spirit. But he can't stop it, or he can't see it. So when you're praying in tongues, the Bible says we're praying mysteries. When we're praying in tongues, we're praying things that we can't see, he can't see, and only the Father knows. Only heaven knows. Okay? And so our next scripture is Mark 16 and 17. And it says, these signs will accompany those who believe. So how would the language be restored to us? By faith. It will be restored by faith. So it says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now, the tongue will be new to us, but it's not new to heaven. It's not new to the kingdom of God. Okay, if I decide today to take up Italian, that is a new language that I'm learning. The language isn't new. It's just new to me. So but in this situation, the Father is restoring the language. He said he's going to give us a new tongue, which means he's going to give us a new language or a new dialect that is particular to the people that are distinct to a nation. So he's given us this new tongue because of now we have been born again, and we are members of we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so as citizens of the kingdom of God, we need to be able to speak in this language to communicate with our home country. That's why the Bible tells us that we are pilgrims passing through. This is not supposed to be our only language that we speak. I don't know if any of y'all ever been around Kirby, but sometimes Kirby's, when he's at my house, okay, he has like four languages, okay? So he prays in tongues, but also he speaks English, and he speaks in French, and he speaks a dialect, a Haitian dialect. And so in the middle of having a conversation, sometimes we just be in the studio, he's on the phone, and he'll start talking in English, then he'll start talking in dialect, then he'll start talking in French. Okay, so we have the ability to go from language to language. We have the ability to pray with understanding, meaning to be praying the scriptures out and then to switch up in tongues. So it gives us the ability to pray and communicate with heaven in two different languages. One Satan in the world understands, and the other they don't understand. It is a new tongue. And his tongue is to communicate with heaven. It is to communicate with the Father. It is to communicate with the Holy Spirit. It is so that we can build up ourselves. It is for intercession. But this language is restored to us by faith. After we are children of God, this language belongs to us. And like I told you, I came up in circles where receiving the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues was the only way they told you can be saved. So they didn't teach us about the prayer language. We knew nothing about praying in tongues. We knew that the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit was tongues. So our next set of scriptures are going to come from the book of Acts. Chapter 2. Verses 1-4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. That's important. We see this constant thing in here in scriptures about unity. One language, one speech, one accord in one place. Unity is very important anytime heaven is trying to accomplish something, or we are trying to accomplish something in heaven, in earth for heaven. So it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Now, the day of Pentecost just simply means 50. And it is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And the reason why they were there is because Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with the power from on high. So they are all in this place with one accord in one place, and they're waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And so it said the tongues were divided, which means it wasn't succinct, means that it wasn't a room of 120 people, because that's how many people were in this room. And they all started speaking in tongues at the same time with the same rhythm. Everybody had their own tongues. The tongues were divided. Okay, so Chris had his own tongues. Davida had her own tongues. Manushka had her own tongues. I had my own tongues. My wife, Ola, my mother, Tanya, Tremaine, Tashombi, everybody had their own tongue. But they were all in one room. That's why I said and one set upon each of them. But then it says his tongue was as a fire. Because when it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit, we receive a fire with it. And the fire is for several different reasons. Sometimes it's for praying down fire on demonic presence. The fire is also for burning up the for purification, burning up the impurities that are in your soul. Because the main purpose of us receiving the Holy Spirit, there are several different purposes, but the main purpose of us receiving the Holy Spirit is for soul excellence. It's so our soul can be developed. And so I'm going to read verse 3 again. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this word filled means it attempted to permeate. This means that the Holy Spirit consumed the individual person's environment. It had not entered into the people. It filled their environment. But when it filled their environment, it says, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm gonna read that scripture again, that verse again. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this new language came through the Holy Spirit. Amen. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, with other tongues. Other tongues meaning it wasn't a common tongue. But I want to address this word begin to speak, because a lot of times what people think is that when you receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit makes you speak with tongues. And that's not what this word begin means. This word begin means that we co-labor with the Holy Spirit. We co-labor with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not make us speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit filled, and then they spoke with tongues. The Holy Spirit can get filled with the Holy Spirit, but don't speak in tongues. And the reason why I say that is because you have to speak. The Holy Spirit can fill you, but you don't speak. And so this word begin means to co-labor. It means that the Holy Spirit can initiate the tongue, or the tongue can initiate the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can provoke me to pray in tongues by just coming down on me, and I feel the Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you have ever felt the presence of God and you just start speaking in tongues. Amen. But then at the same time, I can begin to speak in tongues and the Holy Spirit will come. Amen. So when it says that they began to speak with other tongues, this time it says, and as the Spirit gave utterance, because it was initial evidence. So the Spirit is what provoked them to pray in tongues here. But the Spirit cannot make you pray in tongues. And if you look, if you continue to read Acts chapter 2 and you get further down, they begin to say that they heard them speak in their own language, because it's mysterious now. Nobody can explain this stuff. But I remember hearing a guy talk about, he said his father was praying in tongues. And this is a white guy. He said his father was praying in tongues and he was on an airplane, and a Mexican woman of a Spanish descent turned around and said to him, "Wow, you speak perfect Mexican, perfect Spanish." It's been other instances where people pray in tongues and they were literally praying a language that they had no idea that they were praying in, but the person who spoke in the language understood what they were saying. And this is why people were mesmerized on the day of Pentecost, because some people were praying in an unknown tongue, but some people were praying in a language and they were like, how is it that these people are Jewish of other descents, but they're praying in a tongue that they never learned? Because it's mystical. And if you keep reading down, I think get around 17, verse 17, it begins to talk about, we're talking about Acts chapter 2. And when you go down and you constantly read it, and I would suggest that you do read this, it starts to talk about that the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. And it was the prophecy of Joel. And it says, once the prophecy happened, he said that in this prophecy, that once the Spirit is poured out, that they will begin to prophesy. They will begin to dream and they will begin to have visions. So receiving this language also opens the ability to prophesy, the ability to dream, interpret dreams, and to have visions, hence the gifts of the Spirit. And so the restoration of this language, it brings a lot to us. It brings all of the amenities from the kingdom of God to earth to us. So it's not just a language. And I know a lot of times we think we sound stupid. We just, but that is powerful, because heaven recognizes that you're building up your spirit. You're edifying yourself. It'll give you ability to prophesy. Why? Because prophecy is hearing the Father, or hearing what the spirit realm is saying in this realm and speaking it. And so it makes you sensitive to the Spirit. It makes you sensitive to the kingdom of God, and you start to have visions. You start to have dreams. That's why it tells us that it edifies us. We begin to build ourselves up. You don't know what your call is. You don't know what your purpose in life is. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to speak the restored language that the Father has given us to communicate with him. Because he wants us to be on one accord with him. Our last scripture, Acts 1 and 8. Okay, because we just looked at the return of the language, and then we looked at how the language was restored. So the language is restored by faith. It returned through the Holy Spirit. So I just want to show you some more amenities that we get with this. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So this restored language comes through the Holy Spirit from the Father. And it says when we receive, we will receive power when we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this word power is the word dynamis, and it means we can put this in three different categories. One, gifts and miracles. Now, there's a gift of tongues, which is different from the prayer language of tongues, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. So we receive gifts and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. The other purpose of it is soul development. That's what the fire is for, to burn up the impurities of your defiled mind, of your emotions, okay, of your appetite. It is trying to burn the impurities out of it. And the last one is the host of angels, the army of angels, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have power to command them. When we pray, the angels just don't sit there. When we pray, it's not as if nothing happens. And you need to know this, because when you get a visual of certain things, you'll begin to do it even more. So you have to understand, even when you pray in understanding and you direct the ministry of the Holy Spirit somewhere, angels go to that. They go to the individual. They go to the situation, to the circumstances. Okay, and then the second thing that we get is we become a witness, which means because we have this power of the Holy Spirit, we have this spiritual evidence. Witness literally is the in the Greek is the word martyr. So witness is those who, after his example, the example of Jesus, the example that Christ has given us, has proved the strength and the genuineness of the faith. So he says, once we receive the Holy Spirit, we will be a witness of him. We will be a witness of his power. We will be a witness of his character. We will be a witness of the gifts and the miracles and the message. People will see a change. They will see light. They will see salt. This is him bringing the royal priesthood here, a holy nation, a chosen generation. And he's doing it through this language, through this restored language. And so I want to debunk a couple myths. The first myth is that it is of the devil. Now, we have seen too many scriptures in the Bible. All right. Now, we have people who are in church. All right. Who are Bible believers, and they believe that this is of the devil. Because they believe that it is of the devil, they don't do it. Because they don't do it, what are they missing? They're missing communicating with the Father, communicating with heaven, speaking the language of the kingdom of God, becoming a part of the culture of the kingdom of heaven. They're missing the power, the gifts, the miracles, the soul development that comes with it. They're missing the ability to build themselves up, to refresh themselves, to bring themselves to a rest. So the scripture debunks the myth that is of the devil, because we see here in scriptures, it says nowhere in scriptures where the devil spoke in tongues. All right. The second myth is that you have to be fluent in speaking this. All right. You have several different types of tongues. It's all a gift. All right. This is a gift. This is not something you work for. It's not something you beg for. And they made us feel like we had to. They started with the mama and some dad dad and stuff like that. They start off with one sound. You just be got that baba, baba da dee, baba dee. And then it grows. It grows the more you practice it. But understand this. All right. Although my child could not communicate with me at the same level, it still made him no less of my child. Amen. So the Father is not looking at you like you should be doing this perfect. No. Allow the language to grow. Allow the language to grow. And the only way this language can grow on you is that you constantly do it. The other day I did 6 hours. All right. 6 hours. Why? Because I know what it does. But I also been praying in tongues for, you know, X amount of years, at least 10 plus years. And so the next myth I want to debunk is that you don't have control of it. And so a lot of people think you don't have control of it. Because they think you don't have control of it, they're scared to attempt to do it because they'll think they'll just be in public or something and it'll just come out. No, every gift that the Father gives us, we control it. We control prophecy. You can get a prophecy and decide if you want to prophesy. As an apostle, you can be sent to do something and not go. Mm-hmm. Having a gift of healing, there's nothing in scripture that makes you lay hands on somebody. Having a gift of teaching, we control that gift. So we control these gifts. The Holy Spirit can prompt you to do it, but it can't make you do it. Now, when it does prompt you, I advise you go along with it, no matter who you're in front of. Amen. But we have control of this gift. And a lot of people don't think they have control. And so they don't want to even try it. And a lot of times when we're praying for people, or a lot of times when we're when we have people in the room and we tell them like, okay, we're about to pray in tongues. The first thing we have to tell them is don't shake your head. Don't shake your head. Because they immediately start thinking, natural thinking that, okay, you know what? How can I do this? It doesn't make sense. No, it does not make sense. It's a heavenly language. Heaven doesn't think you look stupid doing it, just people on earth. But how many people we have seen look stupid trying to talk like a baby? Okay? So, in my closing, you know, why did our Father want this language restored? Why did he want this language restored to us? One, he wants to communicate with us. He desires to communicate with us. I keep telling you guys, all right, you have to take on this thought process. This entire Bible is about the heaven, is about God wanting to be a father. He did not create earth because he wanted to be God. He was already God. He already had angels worshiping him. He did not create this Bible so he can create another species of people to worship him. All right? So he's done this because he wants to communicate with us. You have to get that in your mind. If you do not get that in your head, that the whole purpose of this Bible being created is so God can be a father, along the line of your study, and you will get lost. If you think it's because of worship, you'll read scripture. And the more you read scripture, you'll get lost into scripture, or you'll begin to add things. That's why we have people who are still doing Sabbath day. They're still doing a Sabbath day because they don't know that he wants to be a father. That's the whole reason the Bible exists. And so Sabbath day only exists because of Adam fell. Because the original plan was lost, now we have a Sabbath day. Now we have the Ten Commandments. We didn't need law. Only reason we needed law was because of the fall. All right? And so that's the reason why the Sabbath day exists. So you have to understand why the Bible was created. The Father wants to communicate with us. That's why this language has been restored. The next reason, number two, is he wants to build with us. He wants to co-labor with us. Like I told you in Church 101, the reason why we come to church is to conform to the image of Christ. All right. But the end game of us coming to church is to become co-laborers with the Father. So eventually we can have the same conversation or the same verbiage that Jesus had. We only do what the Father says. But how did he get to that place? All right, by communicating with the Father. He only did what the Father told him to do. How did he know that? Communication. He only went where the Father told him to go. How did he know where the Father wanted him to go? Communicating. So the next reason why the Father wanted this language restored was so that heaven can equip us. He wanted us to have power. He wanted us to have gifts, miracles, talents, abilities. He wants our soul developed. He wants the army of angels. He wants the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be at our behest. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be able to prophesy, to dream, and to have visions. He wants that for us. Okay, so I just want to do this teaching to kind of encourage you guys to pray in tongues. And at the same time, I wanted to remind you to pray in tongues. I wanted to remind you to pray in tongues because you have to be reminded of this thing. It is times in this walk where I went months without praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. But I can emphatically tell you right now, every time I go to pray in tongues for a long amount of hours, there's always a manifestation at the end. Pretty much everything that we have, all right, I will write letters. I will write list of things that I wanted manifested in my life. I would write lists, put it on the wall, and just pray in tongues and thank the Father for it. Thank heaven for it. And I went through at least 6 or 7 lists. The only thing that has not been answered on that list is my daughter being completely and totally healed. Everything else was answered. Even when we asked for a house, he gave us a starter house in which it has 6 bedrooms. We're paying like $900 a month, which is a kingdom blessing. 6 bedroom house, $900 a month. okay? He gave us that as a starter house to learn about homes until he can put us in a house. So the Father always wants these things to come to you. And the more you pray in tongues, there is not anything that I have, or there is nowhere where I am right now in life that I do not owe to this language, to this restored language. Okay? And so I do have a video that I want you guys to watch because I want you to see the science behind it in this video. This is ABC News. And they're going to be talking about, you know, the science behind praying in tongues.